Good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, and I've been really struggling with what to say this morning. This is my first radio show back after Tim passing away, Tim Cable, my associate and co-host and guy I've sat down for 2.5 hours a week for the last several years and got to know pretty well. You know, Tim was a special kind of a person. Everybody's special in one way or another. I guess he was special to a lot of people because of the radio shows that he has done, the television cable countries that he has done over the years. We used to talk about those and just how much he loved going out and getting to know people and getting to know their stories and telling stories about people and places and things. That's what Tim specialized in, was those three things. What better thing could a person love than people, places, and things? He also loved his wife, and he loved his kids, and he loved shining light into the lives of others. I'm really at a loss for what to say in terms of how much he meant to others. And I got to know him as a, you know, kind of a just back and forth business person, somebody that I needed, you know, in order to be able to do what I do as far as this radio show is concerned. But then I got to know him as a person. And, you know, before the radio program, we always had time to talk, and afterwards, sometimes I would get up and just, you know, say, "See you, Tim. I got to go back to work." And other times we'd sit there and talk for a while. And, you know, we had one thing in common. We both lost children. His son had been killed in a bicycle accident. I think he was 8 or 9 years old. My son was killed in a car accident when he was 27. And, you know, we had a bond there. And he knew how I felt, and I knew how he felt. I always told him I felt like it would have been worse to lose a small child. At least my son got to live 27 years, and just the helplessness of a child. I'm not meaning for this to be a downer for you folks this morning. I just, I don't really feel like talking about cars, and if you feel like turning it off, that's fine. I want to talk a little bit about a book that I got after my son passed away. I was given a book by this lady. As she handed it to my wife and I, she said, it just seems so inappropriate for somebody to be going through what you guys are going through and for somebody to hand them a book. But we were grasping for anything we could get at that time. And I know that Christina, Tim's wife, and his children are grasping for things right now. Maybe you are too, because of something that's going on in your life. But this book was called Healing After Loss, and I gave Tim a copy, and I've lived in that book for many years. I lived every day. It was just like, you know, it would rescue me in the morning when I needed to be rescued. And it's amazing how the words of somebody who lost her 12-year-old daughter on a vacation. They were in the Rocky Mountains, and they were riding on horseback, and she got thrown off the horse and died instantly. And so one of the ways that she healed from that was to write, and she wrote so many different things that she was able to put this book together. And my son was killed on January the 18th, 2011, and this book is kind of like a devotional, you know, where you get to do a little bit every day. You know, it's dated. So this was January 18th, and it was based on a quote from Emily Dickinson. It said, "Dying is a wild night and a new road." That was her quote that she based this on, and I'll just read it to you. "One of the things so astonishing and costly about losing a loved one is that while the sun continues to rise and set, newspapers continue to be delivered, traffic lights still change from red to green and back again, our whole life is turned around, turned upside down. Is it any wonder we feel disoriented and confused? Yet the people we pass on the street are going about their business as though no one's world has been shaken to the core, as though the earth has not opened up and swallowed us, dropped us into a world of insecurity and change. It is, as Emily Dickinson says, a new road, for us as surely as for the one we have lost. It will take us time to learn to walk that road, time and a lot of help, so we don't stumble and fall irretrievably. Those who have their own experience of loss will probably be our most helpful guides, knowing when to say the right word, when to be silent, and when to walk beside us, when to reach out and take our hand. In time, we will be helpers for others. I have entered a new country. I will be patient with myself. I will look for companions along the way. So, you know, this meant a lot to me. As when I heard about Tim, I was at a campground in Limestone, Davy Crockett birthplace campground. We were sitting there in lounge chairs, and I got a text message from Bill Meade telling me that Tim had passed away. And I immediately looked up, and flying above me was a flock of geese. And you know how they honk and form the perfect V. And the symbolism of that was not lost on me until I thought about it for a while. But I was, not totally shocked that this had happened, simply because of the struggle that he had had, but just devastated with the fact that it did. And of course, my thoughts go immediately to Christina and his kids. And so I was just wondering, okay, well, what do I do now? You know, what do you do next? Or what do you ever do when something like this happens? So you reach out, you do what you can. There's so many, Facebook and all that stuff. People say, well, I'll be praying for you and things like that. And, of course, all of that is very important and very beneficial as well. But, sometimes folks need more than that. And at other times, there's absolutely nothing you can say or do to make them feel any better. And it is a new road. And, you know, this is going to be a new road for me. Of course, while Tim's been in the hospital and a little bit before when he was having back surgery, I was doing these shows by myself. And I hope that I'll be able to get back with Bill Meade. This COVID thing has really put the hurts on us, you know, since the beginning. And, of course, Bill was transitioned to another role, basically. I mean, he and Tim had to kind of swap places. And then Tim came out and we started doing my show on a regular basis. And of course, I had done shows with Tim periodically for the last 4 or 5 years and got to know him and know the things that he loved to do. And, you know, Tim was an antique guy. And any type of memorabilia, Petroliana is what he liked to call it. Anything to do with the car industry and cars, oil, from oil cans to signs to... one time Tim bought a bicycle off of me. I don't know if you remember the crate bicycles from Schwinn, but I had one in 1968. My dad took my brother and I down to the Schwinn bicycle shop there in St. Albans, West Virginia, and said, okay, boys, I'll pay half. And so I had saved up money, and my brother had, and my brother bought a 10-speed kind of a racing bike, and I bought a Schwinn apple crate with the high-rise handlebars and the Springer front suspension, 5-speed gear shift banana seat with shock absorbers on it. I mean, it was a beast. And as a matter of fact, I'm sitting in my office right now, and I'm looking at it. I've got it here, and I kept that bike because it was a special bike to me. And I had purchased a version of that bike called a lemon peeler, which is the same thing, except it wasn't an apple crate. It was yellow. And I told Tim about it, and he said, oh, I'd love to have that. And he came down one day and saw it, fell in love with it, and I gave him a good deal on it. And he was so proud to be able to take that bike home. I think he actually put it inside his house, much to the chagrin of his wife. Nah, probably not. She went along with pretty much anything he wanted to do. But they were a good team, Tim and Christina, and she's going to be at a loss, just like anybody would be. They lose their significant other. I know that is a very bad loss. You know, I've thought about that. People have said to me, said, well, Lenny, there can't be anything worse than losing your child. And I said, yeah, you know, loss is loss. And if somebody loses a wife, it could be just as devastating, or losing a mother or a father, you know, any kind of person that's really close to you. Yeah, I mean, they're all devastating. And you have to find a new road and find a way to live and keep moving. And, you know, just there's a lot of death going on right now. There is no doubt about that. We are in the midst of, I mean, it's just every day you hear of somebody passing away that you know. And those of us that are left behind, we have the ability. We just have to have the desire to go out and shine light in other lives, just like Tim shined his light in ours. And I'm so grateful to have been able to know him and to share with him in those moments about our lives and our loss, losses. You know, it was just a special relationship. You know, I didn't know him forever. I knew him as a TV personality for a whole lot longer than I knew him as a friend. But I tell you this, I'm glad to have known him as a friend, and I'm grateful that the Lord allowed us to have Tim Cable in our lives. I'll be back in just a minute. If you listen to this radio show very often, you know that I have been torn between whether to continue to camp or not. Now, when I say camp, I mean it's more like glamping. Is that what you call it? It's when you camp in something that's really nice, that has a 48-inch flat-screen TV and a microwave oven and that kind of stuff, indoor kitchen, outdoor kitchen. That's camping. That's not the camping that I used to do when I was in the Boy Scouts. But, you know, when I was out there at the campground this weekend, I was getting ready to pull out, and obviously I was getting packing up, and this gentleman rushed over to me, and I'd seen him arrive the night before. He had one of those toy hauler campers. So basically that's a fifth wheel camper that you live in the front part of, and the back part of it is like for hauling motorcycles and stuff. Well, he had two Harley Davidsons in the back of this. And so Tara and I were sitting beside the fire and just watching this unloading process occur the night before. But the next morning, I'm getting ready to load up my stuff, and this guy comes rushing over, and he has his Harley Davidson jacket on, and he said, I understand you're a Ford dealer. And I said, well, yes, sir, I am. And I'm thinking he's, you know, maybe wanting to buy something, but no, his Chevrolet Duramax was giving him a problem. They're from Pennsylvania, and they decided to come down here and camp just all around the state of Tennessee and Kentucky. And he said his engine was not performing right. It was missing and giving him problems. And I'll never forget, my dad was always he always liked to worked extra special hard, is what I'm trying to say, for people that were out from out of town. And that's because they had no other options and they didn't know anybody. And he had obviously been in that position before, and he called them transients, you know, people who were just passing through. And that's what these people were. But they had a problem, and I said, well, you know, I'll be glad to take care of you. I've got, I wouldn't take it to my Ford dealership because they're slammed right now and they specialize in Fords and Nissans. But I've got a guy that can probably take care of your problem. Just follow me. So I got my camper all loaded up. He says, do you need me to help you load up your camper? I said, no, I can handle it. He was feeling very grateful at that moment. So they followed me into Gateway. And so, I mean, into Gateway number two. So I pull in, turn my camper around, and they pull their vehicle into the service department. And here comes Johnny Reagan, my guy that can fix anything. And I said, Johnny, these folks were camping in the same place that I was, and they need your assistance. And I explained it to him, and then the guy explained what, you know, how it was acting and when it acted up. And so Johnny goes to this computer that we have, and it has a program called Identifix. And basically, it's like all the mechanics in the world just got together and decided to share information of what fixed what. You know, this customer had this problem, and this is how we fixed it. And it is an amazing resource. And Johnny was able to identify what it was and solve the problem. And, of course, the customer's grateful. And I think it ended up costing about $180, but he was thrilled, you know, with that. And so we were able to do something good for somebody. And, you know, and that's the kind of things that I just, I feed off of that right now. A gentleman came in yesterday afternoon, and I could hear them negotiating at one of the sales desks, and I just noticed that he said he was a retired gentleman, and that he was interested in trading his Nissan for a Ford Explorer, but they were pretty far apart and everything. So I interjected myself and started talking to him, and just such a nice guy. Lost his wife 3 years ago, and he's just wanting to trade this this car that was hers. And we got to talking, and come to find out, he's got lung cancer and has 15 months to live. And you would never know it talking to him. Just, I'm sitting there looking at him, and I said, okay, I'm thinking, here he is trading cars and just going back and forth just like every day, and he's got this dark cloud hanging over him. You just never know, you know, what people are having to deal with in their life. And you never know if you don't ask. That's one of the things I really like about the car business is the ability to get to know people a little bit more deeply. Cars are such an important part of people's lives. They have connections to cars that they've had in the past. I think that's one of the things that I really love about antique cars, is because it brings back so many memories, and people are able to share their stories and their lives with you. And if you just keep your mouth shut and listen, and obviously that might be hard for me, you can tell, but it's I have learned that you learn so much from folks just by listening to their stories, and it's a way to kind of bring them out of their dilemma that they're in. And this guy, you know, he didn't want to think about his cancer. He wants to think about tomorrow, not, you know, 15 months from now. He wants to live every day to the fullest. And I think if Tim Capel were alive today, or if he could speak to us today from heaven, then he would say, just go ahead and live. You know, I'll be fine. Just keep doing, you know, what you're doing. And I hope that's what he would say to me anyway. And, you know, I'm very grateful to have this forum, this opportunity to share this with you. I didn't mean for this to be a downer show. But I think this is what Tim would want me to do, is get back on here and start talking again, talking about cars and talking about my passion for taking care of people and automobiles in general, and just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Do what you do. Enjoy what you do. Shine light into the lives of others. Serve your fellow man. Be thankful for what you do have, and not resentful about what you don't have. I can't help but think about what my great uncle Joe used to say all the time. He says, you'll never see a U-Haul in a funeral procession. And everything you own today will belong to somebody else tomorrow. So don't get too attached to it, right? I'll be back in just a minute. Well, folks, we're going to try to get back on track tomorrow. We're going to keep moving. Bill Meade has promised me that in some way he's going to come back. You know, Bill and I did millions of shows, probably not quite that many, thousands. Yes, definitely thousands of shows together. And maybe we can get back together, and we don't have to do these things solo for the rest of my radio career, which I don't get paid for, by the way. And pray for Tim's family, you know, that they'll be able to get through this and come out on the other side with gratitude for a life that was well lived and a guy that, that really contributed a lot to East Tennessee and to the, you know, just telling stories. I mean, he was such a great storyteller, and he just loved it. And hopefully that legacy will live on for years to come. But thank you for listening. If you want to do any kind of memorial or anything for Tim, I'm sure you could get in touch with the radio station, WJCW, or you can send me some kind of a message. My cell phone is 423-552-2020, and I'll be sure to pass that information along to the folks who can handle that. So, but anyway, thank you for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.